Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Canuck Otaku podcast. Chris and Luigi here in studio.
Woohoo!
Luigi is not 500 kilometers, 700 kilometers away.
700, yeah.
700 exactly, or?
It's like 750.
Yeah. He's here for Thanksgiving. So for any Canadian listeners out there, happy Thanksgiving. That is one of the reasons why we are just a couple days late. I really wanted to shoot on, or I really wanted to record on Friday.
Yeah. But
I had a midterm on Thursday and
I was driving down on Friday.
And you're driving down on Friday. And like the problem with the online classes is that you can take a midterm anytime during the day. And yeah, so I did my studying in the morning and the afternoon, and then I did my test in the evening. So
I would have done the same, so it's okay.
Yeah. Nope. Test went well. So I'm taking a poetry class just to fill an English requirement for an education degree. And yeah, I completely forgot how English classes work because my last English class was back in high school. And like to go back into just analysis and like, what do you think the author meant when they were writing this? Oh, man. Like a lot of times you're just like pulling stuff out of your ass.
Oh, 100%.
And it's like, yeah, I mean, it sounds like it'll probably get a good grade.
As an ESL student, I will definitely tell you that most of my English marks were just me pulling shit out of my ass. Mm-hmm.
And
we did IB, right? Yep. And then in our year, we did Wuthering Heights.
I did Wuthering Heights as
you
well.
You did Wuthering Heights as well. Okay. I never read the book.
I never read the book either.
I watched the movie with
there was a movie?
Yeah, there's a straight to TV movie. Because I remember I started reading the book and I was like, I don't like this. And then someone told me about the movie and I watched the movie. And dude, I pulled a 5 out of 7 on English, which is actually pretty good, decent for someone that was just not giving a shit.
So like IB is the grade is marked out of 7. Yes. Like 7 is like the top. 5 is still like a really good mark.
A 4 is like an average, I'd say, right?
Yeah.
4 is average, 5 is good, 6 is like wow, and then 7 is like okay.
Yeah, it's like top genius. Notch. Yeah, but I didn't read Wuthering Heights.
Yeah.
I think I relied solely on like the Spark Notes to get my assignments done.
I did. Yeah, that
it's too. I don't even remember what it was about. All I know is that I didn't like it.
Yeah, not a huge fan. Yeah.
There was also The Wars. I didn't read much of The Wars either.
The Wars?
The Wars, I think that's what it was called.
Oh, we didn't have that one.
Yeah, but like all this analysis of like poems and like just to prepare for the exam, I think I did like an analysis, or I read analyses of like 20 to 30 different poems just to kind of get a gist of like what it is that you're supposed to be looking for, if you're looking for like imagery and symbolism and all that kind of stuff. And the problem with that is that when you're going from a very analytic perspective on I have seen that
that's who, Tom Hardy, sorry.
But yeah, going from like the mindset of you're looking for every single like piece of detail when you're reading a piece of poetry, and then suddenly like you're watching an anime or you're reading the manga and you're still your switch is still flipped to that.
So you're reading
you're reading between the lines and you're trying to see if there's any sort of double meaning. It's like, oh man, there must be like a meaning behind.
Why did she say baka that way?
Yeah, right? And yeah. So I mean, that's sort of the preface into what it is that we're talking about, because today's episode is going to be a deep dive into I don't even know how to like describe this. Like, I liked it. I don't want to say it was good. It was good. we're discussing Rent a Girlfriend or Kanojo Okudishimasu.
Yes. Hi.
So like going into analysis, like there's two ways that we can approach this. And like this is taking the words from my music history prof, who I honestly think is probably the wisest person that I have ever met before. And he was the one that like was really like, for some reason, like my music history prof, like he taught me more about writing an essay than like any English class ever did. And he said, you can either be really general and just cover like the surface level of whatever it is you're talking about, or you can just dive straight first and like focus on just a specific thing. So are we going to focus on a specific thing, or are we going to be general? Or do we start general and then just kind of...
I feel like we could start mostly general and then maybe focus on one or two one or two characters.
Yeah.
Because that's really what it comes down to, right? Yeah. It's a show where not a lot happens. Well, I mean, things happen, but it's just all between characters, right? There's...
Yeah. I mean, isn't that any show?
Again.
Yeah. So, for those of you that haven't watched it, I mean, you probably have heard of it.
You've probably seen memes
about it. Yeah, there's memes about it.
It blew up.
Yeah. So, the basic premise is that the main character, Kazuya, in the very, like, very opening of the series, his girlfriend of 1 month breaks up with him.
Oh, yeah, it is 1 month.
And to kind of, what's the word? To rebound from that, he rents a girlfriend to kind of make himself feel better. So, I mean, just explaining just that first initial premise.
Need some background information, though.
I need background information, but just from, like, hearing that description, like, the guy is just...
Well, sad.
It's cringe. Sad, and it's, like, pathetic. And
pathetic.
Like,
is a good word. Yeah, it's... I feel it's like any other anime, right? They take something that's relatable and then they turn it to 11.
Yeah.
They turn it up to 11.
Like that was the, that was what I got out of it. Cause really, and like the way that we'll talk about this is that, I mean, one is going to be very spoiler heavy.
Yes.
And we'll probably be referencing things as if, like, if you're listening, you should already know about it, just cause I don't want to have to explain like what happens and whatnot. So if you're listening to this and you haven't seen the show yet or read the manga, I would do that before you listen to this. Otherwise you're going to have no idea what's going on.
You're just going to completely spoil it, and then you might as well not watch it.
Yeah. So like before we delve into the specifics, did you like the show?
I enjoyed it. Obviously not my favorite.
Yeah.
But, I do enjoy the characters.
Yeah.
To be honest. I obviously think that, you know, of course, everything is very exaggerated, like any anime.
Yeah.
I would actually say that Kazuya made me feel the same amount of cringe that someone like Michael Scott would make me feel sometimes on The Office.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot of you're yelling at the screen saying, no, you idiot, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But so... Since I do enjoy that kind of comedy, I did enjoy the show. It's just sometimes they laid it on a little bit too thick.
Yeah, there were a lot of TV tropes that I saw,
yes.
which I don't like. But so this is my second time going through the series,
right?
Because I read this earlier in the year. I don't know how I came upon it, but it just happened to be, I saw the cover art, I read the description, and then I just decided to give it a go. I did not like it, but I kept on reading. it's one of those, it's like watching
it's like McDonald's.
Yeah. I don't want to rip on you cause you're a fan of it, but it's like watching like a race car race. It's just like you're waiting for just
something to happen.
You're waiting for like someone to crash or like a wheel to pop up and like take out like some attendee's like head. And like you're just waiting for like something to happen and you just kind of want to like see where things go. Yeah. But so I didn't like it the first time. When I saw that the anime was announced, I was like, oh, shit. Right? And then when you started watching it, and then Luigi and I talked about it just like every now and then.
Yeah, in passing.
And I always talked about how I just did not like it. And even in past episodes where we referenced it, I talked about how I didn't like it. I think my perspective has, or my attitude has changed quite a bit after going through it a second time.
Okay.
And I think part of that is, again, when you're talking about, like, for example, like hating on Michael Scott. It's like the difference between, like, you don't like what the characters are doing in the show, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, like, you don't like the show is bad.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't agree with all the things that Cassia does, yeah. But I still find totally. It entertaining.
Yeah.
It's weird to describe. I don't know how to explain it. That's why I said Michael Scott was kind of like the closest, because he's just always, you know, also jumping to assumptions, doing the stupidest things that you're just kind of like, no.
Yeah.
Everything would be resolved if you just did this. You're it's going like, about it this whole like other
looking,
way.
Well, like looking at it from an outside perspective, like, you know exactly like what person should do and...
100%.
Yeah.
So, and it's kind of like just watching someone fuck up.
Oh yeah,
and totally. That's what's and like, entertaining
and,
about it.
Yeah, and it, like I can't stand secondhand embarrassment.
Yeah, so yeah.
If I see like someone fucking up, like I cannot, like it's hard to watch, and it's just hard to be in the same room.
That's literally what this show is, though.
So like part of the appeal that I got out of this, and like this sort of forms my. Like my thesis about like what it is about this show, because like you'll go into any like episode discussion and you like you're just gonna get a lot of it's the same stuff. It's just like
why the fuck did he do it's that?
Like what the fuck are you doing, right? And like you have every right to say that because yeah, totally. Like what the fuck are you doing? Like this guy's like he's making obvious errors.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking things way too personally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first thing you'll say is like, you know, dude, like you dated this girl for a month.
And get over it.
You're like, get over it. Right. But what I think, when it comes down to it, and it took me sort of a little bit of humility to kind of realize this, is that Kazuya, like he's a reflection of what just goes through the head of a lot of guys when they're in their high school and in their college years. And like, while it's definitely hyperbolized,
mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people in the real world that think and act exactly like that.
Oh yes.
And like, even like quote unquote normal guys, like they'll have those thoughts. Like you'll have just the, you know, wanting to have a girlfriend or like you'll mm-hmm. have sort of like, you know, perverted thoughts and all that stuff. And
it's just Cassia is the one that actually acts upon
them. Well, he acts upon it. And like, I think every guy is guilty to a point when it comes to just
not
making...
Not just guys, every person.
Every person. But I'm talking about guys because I can't speak for women.
No, same, but...
Like,
yeah.
But like, you know, for example...
To keep
like,
it open-ended.
Like every guy has made stupid, like stupid decisions.
Yeah.
And like, when I think back to a lot of the stupid shit that like I've done when it comes to like relationships and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, like everyone has had like I'm pretty sure like we can remember what it's like for, you know, falling in love for the first time or experiencing a breakup or like continuing to have like a love that just won't go away.
Taking things a little bit out of context.
Yeah, and...
Misunderstanding situations.
It's hard to admit this, but, like, I see a lot of my younger self in Kazuya.
Oh, no, me
like,
too.
I didn't...
Thoughts-wise, at least.
Like, thoughts-wise and just, like, attitudes and, like, even, like, some of the decisions that I've made.
Yeah.
Where, like, you see every single, like... act of kindness that a girl like gives to you is like some sign that
what does
like
this they're mean?
Somehow into you, right? And then yeah,
why
and
is
then,
she being so nice.
And
to
then
me?
Suddenly, like you're like, well, you know, let's pull the trigger and let's see where things go. And yeah, it doesn't go well.
Why is she with that guy?
So, Yeah, it's...
I will say, I think that was the episode that hurt me the most.
Which one?
The one where Cassia is just walking out, just out and about, and sees Chizuru with another guy.
Oh, with her friend?
With, yeah, the guy from acting school. But yeah. He's like, who is this? Is this another, like, yeah. You know, like... another client, and then he's like, no, can't be a client. Yeah. That guy's too good looking to be a client.
Yeah.
She has a boyfriend.
Yeah. But it's like, we'll get into that. Cause like, I just, it's a lot of the,
like, but a lot of thoughts like that, right? Like
yeah.
The whole
and it's jumping like, to conclusions. It's not your business, but you can't help but make it your business.
Correct.
And that's what gets you into shit in
and
the future.
I think that's what makes Kazuya a relatively likable guy anyway, because he still shows those good characteristics with his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, he does have good intentions. So it the show gets you to root for him a little bit, because
yeah,
I think it they did write it in such a way that you are supposed to see your younger self.
Yeah. Well, I will, I'll talk about that, because I will talk about probably my favorite scene from the series.
Okay.
And it's him like kind of figuring out, like sort of keeping his desires in check and like what his desires are.
Mm-hmm.
But just to kind of finish my little spiel on like what this show is about. Cause I think it's really important, cause I think I can't speak for most people, but for me, I love just projecting myself onto any character that I see
mm-hmm.
in a show. And the fact that I like doing it means that other people probably do it as well. And like a lot of times we will project ourselves onto the wrong people to almost to the point that like we idolize the wrong people
mm-hmm.
and like we put certain people on a pedestal when we really shouldn't.
When they shouldn't be there.
Yeah, like when people say, like, oh, like, I wish I was, like, Rick from Rick and Morty. It's like, no. Or when people, like, dress up as, like, Joker.
Oh, God. It's yeah, like, no, that's a perfect example.
Right? It's like you completely miss the point of...
Yeah, because a lot of people do idolize
right?
the Joker.
It's like, oh, yeah, you know, anarchy and just, oh, man.
That's not the whole, yeah.
Yeah, right. So, like, yeah, it's like, Kazuya is an example of... like who you
don't want to be,
who you don't want to be. Like you probably share a lot of characteristics as him, but like, that's not like the way that you should go.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, just seeing his progression over the series kind of shows that that's not the way that you should be living. And I think it's a really, really dangerous, there's a slippery slope when it comes to where, like guys that are at this point when it comes to like, figuring out their desires and who they are, especially when it comes to wanting a significant other.
Yeah.
And like we can see a little bit of this commentary in like episode 10, where we see the effect that it had on his friend Kuribayashi.
Yes,
the glasses dude. I hate the dude, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either.
But like we see the fact that he has. So like, you know, men who generally have like a lack of experience or like a lack of women will like often have really bad self-confidence issues.
Mm-hmm.
And like that can lead to really, really extremely destructive behavior, both for themselves as well as for other people.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have to take a look at the activity of like nice guys or incels, for example, to kind of see what happens if you go down the wrong path. You have guys that desperately want a girlfriend, but then they kind of fail to see the reasons as to why they don't have one. Some people have the humility to kind of accept that there's something wrong with them that they have to fix, and kind of they're the reason why mm-hmm. things aren't going the way they want. Some will blame women.
Some will blame the
world around them. Some will blame other guys.
Yeah,
right?
Other guys. Yeah.
And then Chad. Some people will just completely give up.
Yeah.
And like we can see, like for example, like his friend was like posting on his Instagram or Twitter account, like stuff like who needs love and like, who needs girls? And like, I don't trust women anymore. And like, rightfully so, because that's this, what he went through just openly, right? And like, that's sort of like what can happen if you, yeah, if you get yourself into these kinds of situations, right? So yeah, like I've I don't want to get like too personal, but like I can kind of see where like his friend is like getting at, because I've had a good history of like relationships with people. Mm-hmm. Like all of my relationships have been long term, and like I've been able to kind of grow have a steady relationship until things didn't go well. Mm-hmm. And when things don't go well, it's like you're like you literally feel like you got burned, right?
Oh, and yeah, same.
And yeah, like if you,
I think I know what you're talking about, and it's very similar to an experience that I had as well.
Why play with fire again when you know that there's a chance that you'll get burned, right? And like in terms of like where I am right now in terms of like relationships, like I'm still at that point where just like I don't really care.
Mm.
And like I think that's probably what makes me even more frustrated with a lot of these characters in the show, because they're at that point where that's all they care about.
Yeah, they care too much.
Like they care too much about getting a relationship, and you know, you get the whole like Tinder and online dating. It's like you can kind of relate to renting a girlfriend at Tinder, because it's the same. Like
you're not paying them, and you don't get a guaranteed match.
Or like they're not actually like being affectionate towards you. It's just a date, but.
It's free food. Yeah, for
like
them.
I don't know. Like I think I've just gotten old, and I've gotten over the whole like I just want to bang like phase. Yeah, I mean the other thing is that there's a whole like possessiveness of the whole thing.
Yes.
It's like the characters are always expressing their need to like, I need a girlfriend, like I want a relationship, and like I need to self-validate myself, which is pretty much what they're saying.
Yeah.
So.
And that does. It is very possessive, because that's actually on that episode that I'm telling you about, when Cassia sees Chizuru with the other guy, he gets all like, that's when somehow just then he realizes that, oh yeah, she has other clients.
Yeah.
So it's, there are things in this show that I don't enjoy. And it is how much they focus on how all these relationships are the be all end all.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, you guys are in college. Chill out.
Like there's more to life than just romance.
I do like that it's in college though, not in high school.
Yeah.
Because that's how they allowed all the other I guess sexual tension topics
But yeah, I mean, like, if there's any listeners that are, like, young. I'm saying that like I'm old.
Kids.
But, yeah. I've had good relationships. And just, honestly, like, being single, it's not too bad.
I can't say too much.
Yeah, you can't say too much. But you're an outlier.
It's going to be 8 years in... Yeah. 4 days, so, hey? So
yeah, that's fucked.
It is fucked.
So yeah, Luigi doesn't know what it's like.
I recognize it.
So, let's dive into the characters.
Yes. So, who do you want to start with? Kazuya being the main guy.
Yeah, let's talk about him. We already talked a little bit about him with just a little bit.
It's a lot of self-validation.
He needs to.
He really cares about how people perceive him.
Oh, totally. And like before we talk about Kazuya, like I just want to say like fuck his family. So especially the grandmother, like the grandmother could literally like
too many expectations.
I could just throw her into a home and just leave her there.
She sets too many expectations for him that he's not meeting, and then he feels like he's insufficient.
Yeah.
And then you know, he finds this, not cheap, because it's not cheap, but he finds an easy option, kind of like the easy way out of how to appear like he has his life together.
Mm-hmm.
And I will talk
about
grandma. That later,
because I do want to talk about in real life renting. But yeah, that's exactly it. And like
he chooses the easy way out, which is not the right choice.
Yeah. Well, and like it's easy to see like the position that he's in, especially like I come from an Asian background, and with a lot of Asian cultures, there's just huge societal expectations to either uphold like some family
tradition,
right? And
business.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like really his grandmother's motivation is that she wants an heir.
Mm-hmm.
And like Kazuya is the only way that she can get one. But like she sets like such high of an expectation, like finding a relationship. And everyone's thinking like, oh, maybe he like wants or needs something else.
Yeah.
I mean the whole, like you can't really be in a relationship until like you're complete yourself. That's like,
yeah,
that, I mean, that's sort of my approach when it comes to this. And,
love yourself before you love another.
Yeah. Right.
Type thing.
You need to learn how to love yourself. And even in her interactions, like she's even more, like she's more concerned with Chizuru than she is with Kazuya.
100%. Well, even near the last few episodes, whenever they go on that family, I don't know if it's a retreat or New Year's.
I hated that scene.
Yeah, those like, scenes were rough too, with Ruka and everything.
I hated reading it.
Yeah, and
I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it? Okay, well I watched like, it
No, because like I knew that when it was gonna get to the line, like either break up with Ruka or like I'm gonna disown you.
Yeah.
I did not want to deal with like watching that.
Exactly. So and just the way that the grandma, even after the whole lies that he sets up, like, oh yeah, Ruka's kinda crazy, she thinks she's dating me or whatever. The grandma has that little conversation with Ruka on the sidelines. And even then, she's just like idolizing Chizuru.
Yeah.
And basically saying, I don't know how my idiotic grandson landed a girl like Chizuru.
Like, way to be a supportive family member.
Right?
Yeah. And like, honestly, like, I think she was the one that caused everything. I think she set everything in motion. Well, like, because the thing is that one of the main reasons why, like, one of the main motivations for Kazuya is like, will I be able to introduce my grandmother to a girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
And like, my response to that question is like, do you need to? And yeah, he's like too weak to stand up for himself.
Yes.
he you said, he goes with the flow.
And
he needs to conform with expectations. And that's sort of where things are. Like if he had just said, just let me be single, even though that's probably not what he wants. But if he just like said that.
Someone will come along. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Chill out, grandma.
I don't know. And like there's so many situations of kids just leaving their families because they're just sick of being just hounded.
All that pressure.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, I mean, whether it's parents or by the grandparents or whatnot. But yeah. And so like, that's probably... I would say that's probably the root of his issues and
the environment for sure. The environment that he grew up in.
Yeah.
But the fact that he doesn't stand up for himself also, enables all of that to take over his life.
Yeah. He's also horny as fuck.
Yes. Well, the main opening ends with him throwing a tissue into the garbage can. Yeah. So,
I mean, the whole like the ending is him like shaking a pop can.
Yes.
Right. Oh man,
it's a lot of innuendos in this show, and maybe that's also why it's popular. But people are horny nowadays, especially with quarantine.
Nowadays,
with quarantines. You don't know how many memes I've seen where it's just like. Damn.
Yeah.
Calm down.
So
keep it in your pants.
So when it comes to Kazuya, like a lot of things pissed me off about him.
Yes.
Like making the same mistakes over and over again, failing to like take a stand. I think like the biggest sin that he's committed is probably continuing to talk to an ex.
Yeah.
From and like, you know, from and that's sort of that sort of comes from like my own personal experience. Remaining in contact with an ex is probably the last thing that you should do if you're trying to get over them. Like,
yeah.
It's like reverse exposure therapy.
Basically.
Yeah. Don't.
Where you need to stop being exposed.
But yeah. Yeah. Like, you're keeping yourself in there. Don't keep your exes in your lives. It's weird.
Not recommended.
It's weird.
Unless you have to.
Yeah. Especially if you have like an ex, like, Mammy, which we'll get to. That's the worst kind of ex that you should keep in your life.
I really disliked her at first, but
we'll get to that because she is actually, she's one of my favorite
characters. I actually do enjoy her character. I still hate her.
I like her more than Cheezer Luke, but
I do enjoy her character, the way that they wrote the character. We'll get in there. But I am interested in season two, mostly because of what happens near the end of season one with Mami. So we'll see.
Yeah, and actually, in terms of just a complete sidestep, the anime adapted the manga really, really well.
Really?
Like almost 100%.
That's good.
They did skip a couple chapters near the end, but I think it was just to get to a certain point where they could end the season
with like a good some sort of
conclusion, because right now the anime adapted around like 50 chapters.
Yeah.
Right now they're at chapter 150, so like
that's all.
There's a good amount of material that you can that they can work on.
One thing I also wanted to mention about Kazuya. He needs to tell his friends, too, to stop inviting him and Mami to the same places.
Yeah, I don't like his friends either, with the exception of, like, the one...
That cares about him.
Yeah, I mean, like, if I had a bunch of friends that kept on reminding me that I was a virgin, I'd probably...
Yeah. Well, that would make me self-conscious, or I would hate them.
Probably make me an incel now. Yes. Women!
People equal shit!
Fucking chads.
Yeah, it's just because I'm a nice guy.
Yeah, like the friends feed the flames.
Yeah, 100%.
Everyone's like pushy, and like everyone wants the information on like what's going on.
And yet, not only do they nag him about being a virgin and shit, but then they, you know, they invite the two of them to the same venues, the same get-togethers or whatever. And then when they're there, they start talking like, Look, Kazuya, Mami's here. Like,
yeah.
Whoops. Yeah. Sorry, bud.
Yeah. And then the other thing is that just like reaffirming or like keep like when they keep on like talking about his like, you know, he hasn't been laid yet.
Mm-hmm.
He's unsuccessful with women. Like it's just it's good to fan the flames it goes back to the whole like you need a girlfriend to be complete kind of thing. Like you're a loser unless you've been laid and all that. Right. So,
which is incorrect.
Yeah. It's just a very,
it's a weird mindset that they keep pushing on him. Right. And then he's, I don't want to say gullible. I mean, he is gullible, but not in this, in this case, he's not he's impressionable.
Mm-hmm.
Like easily swayed, easily. He doesn't really have a grasp on his own personality, right? So that's why the way that his friends view him, I feel, is how he tries to identify himself.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
He doesn't have a character that he's built that he says, "No, this is me. I don't need you guys to remind me."
That's a really, really interesting point. Cause I get into arguments with my friends all the time cause they're always talking about just kind of like how they're doing on Tinder.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation always goes back to me in which they always ask the same question, "Chris, why haven't you made a Tinder yet?" And yeah, it's just like,
you don't have to,
I am so comfortable with saying, like, I don't care. I don't feel as though like I need that in my life right now. Right. And like you do, and like that's perfectly fine. Like that's exactly what you want. But yeah, like saying like I'm comfortable with knowing myself and knowing what it is that I want, that this is exactly what I'm gonna do.
Exactly. And Cassia doesn't quite have that.
Yeah. Although it's hard looking from like their perspective, because like if I were to talk to them, they'd probably like chime back with like, well, you know, you've been laid before, I haven't. So like, you know, it's you can't talk.
You can't say anything about it, man. You're just taking a break because technically you already got there. It's like, once again, that's not the be all end all.
Everything's like, I know how they think.
That's funny. But in the end, I do think that Kazuya is the kind of character where he's relatable enough that you want to see him grow past.
You're rooting
this
for him to do well. You're like a...
I'm not rooting for him to get a girlfriend. I'm rooting for him to grow as a kid, to develop.
You're like the parent of like a dumb child.
Yeah. It's,
you're watching them and you're like, oh my God, like I love you so much. I wish you the best, but I just wish you wouldn't so fuck up so much.
That's Kazuya. That's literally...
Yeah.
And that's how I view it, right? It's like, you're likable, you're nice, you have all these things going for you, but you need to fix these issues. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting here. That's how I was watching the whole first season, just sitting there kind of like hoping to see some character development. And there was.
Yeah. And like the thing is that like I've kind of tracked like some of the like his decision making.
Mm-hmm.
So like for the most part, he makes the wrong decisions.
Yes.
Every now and then he makes the right decision, but at the wrong time.
Correct.
Which in some way is like a step forward, because he's making the right decision. Yeah. When he said, oh, like we're actually considering breaking up. Like right thing to say, but like wrong time.
Yes. Oh yeah. When she's there and all the other friends, it's like, what?
I mean, like, yeah, it's progress, but yeah.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah. And then he ended up making more wrong decisions because he like got mad at his friend, even though his friend was in the right.
Yeah. Another right decision that he did at the wrong time was that he just stopped trying to go for Mami.
Yeah.
Because he was like, no, he realized that he liked Chizuru or whatever. And then Mami basically was gone for like
a good amount of time
until the last few episodes.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, but you should have done this like before you even rented a girlfriend.
You should have done. Yeah. I mean, that should have been done the second you broke up.
Exactly. Yeah. But he did go about it in the wrong way, because it was kind of like he got over her because he chose someone else.
Yeah, and actually, that's not the right way to go either.
Yeah, exactly. So it was the right thing to do.
Yeah,
just not the right way or the right time.
Yeah, other piece of advice for everyone else: don't rebound.
Yeah,
it's bad, and like again, personal experience, because I've rebounded and it did not go well.
Yeah, rebounds are yeah.
Can I talk about my favorite scene? And it does involve Kazuya.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
so my favorite scene, and like there was a lot of symbolism and like meaning into the whole scene. It was when he was jerking off in episode 5.
Oh, when he's thinking about
Mommy,
Chizuru starts sneaking in.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the turning point, right?
So that is the turning point. So in poetry, the turning point in a piece of poetry, whether it's for example, like a sonnet, for example, both a sonnet as well, or Italian as well as English sonnet, there's something called the volta. The volta, you're Italian. Do you know what volta is?
No, I mean, I'm Italian. I don't speak it.
Yeah. So the volta is the turn. So the turn.
Okay, that's what
in a piece of poetry.
I should have said that. In Spanish, it's vuelta.
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 Oh, okay.
So
oh, okay,
and it makes sense. Italians oh, makes volta, sense. Yeah. Okay. Okay, yeah. Sorry, yeah. My bad.
So the volta is the turning point in a poem where like there's a shift in ideas, a shift in thoughts, mm-hmm. A resolution to conflict, and yeah, this was the turning point because you have this horny motherfucker, and like he is like oh I mean, like you just know that like he wants Mammy not for like nothing except like a physical. A physical fling.
Basically.
And then suddenly, like, his thoughts of her gets interspersed with, like, wholesome, genuine scenes with a fully clothed cheese.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, like, all those moments are recalling her. And they even included scenes of, like, her supporting him and, like, the one of, like, her defending him. And, like, there was one specific thing where... she said, if you want, I can give you both. And I think that was probably the most important like line in that scene. Because mm-hmm. literally it's like, I can give you both what you want out of your ex. And then I can give you the other part, which is the two parts to a relationship in order for a relationship to function.
Mm-hmm.
Or so I've been told.
So you've been told, I don't know. Yeah.
I've been single for 2 years. So, you know, things might have changed.
No, it's pretty much the same. I don't think this relationships
will change. But yeah, I love that scene. Not only was it like so weird.
Yes.
And I was like, ah. like reading it was like weird enough. Knowing that
animation,
knowing that they were gonna do something with it.
Yeah.
They did a good job with it.
Oh, they did a great job. As weird as it was, I will also say that with the animation and all those scenes, they never. Did anything too distasteful, if that makes sense? Is that the word?
What do you mean?
I don't want to say that it's tasteful, because it's not. But it's all at the same time, it's not... at least myself, I never got offended by those scenes.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like they kept them relatively inoffensive.
Yeah, I think they got the idea across without being too expletive.
Yeah, too in your face.
Yeah.
Too high school D&D.
Yeah. Still wouldn't watch, like, with friends.
Oh, Rent a Girlfriend? Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
Oh, you're just gonna... bunch of dudes watching this one guy jack off to his ex-girlfriend.
Mommy Chan. What are your thoughts on Chizuru? I can't pronounce it unless I say it the English word. Cheeseroo.
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 Miranda Girlfriend. Canada Joe. Old Carisha Mass.
Cheeseroo, I think... I like her character because I wouldn't... In an earlier episode, you said that you don't like her because she's a tsundere. I wouldn't call her a tsundere. I wouldn't call her a tsundere. I think she's just literally just doing business. She's a businesswoman.
Yeah, so she's doing...
She's literally just doing her job. And it's not until later on when she starts to show that she cares about Kazuya. But she's not being all like, oh, you idiot, or whatever, right? Like the super tsundere tropes like a Chitoge.
Wait till season 2.
Okay, well, see, you might know more than I do. I'm assuming she goes on to be the tsundere.
Because when it starts to be apparent that she actually starts liking the dude... Where is that sound coming from? Oh, did I not turn my... Was that an ad from somewhere?
That sounded like an ad.
Yeah, I didn't turn my speakers off. There we go.
Hot singles near you. No.
I wish.
No, but Chizuru, okay, so I do see how she would possibly become the tsundere. But in season 1 overall, I really do like the way that she carries herself. Everything's very business. Everything she knows, she's basically quote unquote babysitting Kazuya half the time.
Yeah.
And she's the mature one in really pretty much most of the characters.
But she's an accomplice.
Like, yes.
I almost like...
But it is her job, too.
So, when it comes to Mammy, I hate it. I hated her at the beginning. I think most people did.
Yeah, and she was definitely written to.
And it was only until like she actually revealed herself that I actually started to
appreciate,
not like her, but respect her. Because you can not like someone but still respect them.
Correct.
Because the thing about her is that, well, one, she knows what she wants. Yes. She knows how to get what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have an easy victim such as Kazuya, like, it's a classic example of just emotional abuse and manipulation, right?
She's manipulative, for sure.
And she's totally narcissist, too.
Mm-hmm.
Narcissism, as defined by, is this Oxford or Webster's? Anyway, this definition's from somewhere. Excuse me. Too much coffee. Ooh.
You okay?
Are you the only one? Like, I get gassy when I, like,
really? Drink with coffee. Yeah.
Or no. maybe it's because, like, I'm drinking and I'm taking so many breaths because I'm talking.
Maybe.
It's probably it. But yeah, narcissism. inflated sense of self. Mm-hmm. Need for attention, admiration. Lack of empathy. All to mask a very fragile self-esteem. Yeah. So, I mean, it's easy to see, like, she's like, when she's playing Kazuya, but... Kazuya doesn't know it because his dick is dictating his life. But yeah, like my other favorite scene is probably her confrontation with Chizuru.
I enjoyed that a lot. I really enjoyed
really,
that.
And like the whole what she was trying to say is, we're not so different, you and I.
Yeah.
Well,
one's getting paid, the other one isn't.
Yeah. But the thing is that, like, Mammy, she's manipulative. She can fake her way and she can get what she wants. But in a way, Chizuru is exactly the same.
Right.
Like, she knows how to change her appearance. She knows how to act in order to get people to request and to pay for her, right? And like the whole thing where Mammy was asking her, like, what kind of songs she likes to sing. And Chizuru admitted that it depends on what client she has, mm-hmm. right? And she even admitted saying, like, well, if Kazuya were here, I would choose... She said, I would choose... the Peggies are... What was he? Who's the ending singer?
The opening. The end.
Halka
or the Peggy. I thought that was, by the way, I wanted to say, I thought that was genius that they threw that in there. I loved it.
In the manga.
Yeah.
I don't know what the raw translation is, but in terms of the what the English translators used, they used Radwimps and Little Glee Monsters.
Oh, okay. Radwimps. Yeah. That would have been good too. That would have been a good opening. But
no, it's like so when it comes to like people that are assholes,
mm-hmm.
I have no problem. Like, I have respect for people that are assholes and admit that they're an asshole.
And they're aware of it.
And they're aware of it. I hate people that are assholes and they try to cover it up, which is what Mammy was doing in the beginning and will probably still do.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that she's kind of opened herself up a bit.
Yeah.
Because I think the most hated the character that I hate the most out of every single thing that I've watched or read was Kawhi from A Silent Voice.
That's the girl, right?
That's the girl that, like, played innocent and played victim when she was an accomplice in the bullying.
Yeah.
I wanted to throw her off that bridge so hard.
With no water under the stream.
Yes. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, it's just like...
Did we say anything? No, we didn't say anything. It's okay.
Yeah. So, it's interesting to... I don't remember what happens in the middle of the series. Because I know they get more into Chizuru's acting. And then she starts doing like commercials and
in the manga and stuff.
I shouldn't go.
No, yeah, now you're spoiling it for me.
I know I'm spoiling it, which is why I'm not going to talk about it. But like, I'm just trying to recall like from the chapters that I've read.
I mean, in the end of the episode, the season, she does say, like, she announces, like, hey, like, I'm thinking of quitting.
Yeah, and actually, if you take a look at the final episode, her grandma is holding a pamphlet. And the pamphlet is it's the program for a stage production. And you can actually see her, Chizuru's, like, photo in the cast list.
Right.
And that's actually where the manga is. Because following the scene where Kazuya is it Kazuya? I keep on thinking, you got to mix it up with Kazuma, where Kazuya confessed.
Yeah.
The day afterwards, he goes to see the play that she's a part of.
I see.
Yeah. He's doing the whole, like, watch her play so that she'll like me.
Simp.
Yeah. No. It's like Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man. Yeah, yeah.
MJ.
I will say, you don't know how frustrated I was at the end of the last episode when Kazuya...
I mean, where else would it go?
I know, but like the fact that he said, you know, you're the one I want. And then, oh my fucking God. As my rental girlfriend. Oh my
God. 12 episodes of character development and... We're not back at square one.
No, we're at square...
It's just...
1.5.
Yeah, it's like... It's like 3 steps forward, 2 steps back.
sometimes 3 back, 2 forward. But yeah.
That is what happens in the manga, though. It's not one of those like anime-specific endings.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that that's why they chose that as a because that's a good.
It's a good ending point.
Oh, it's good ending point. Kind of leaves it as a. Is there gonna be a season 2?
And yeah, there was.
And then boom, announced within a week or less.
What are your thoughts on the other girls?
I have like a weird love-hate relationship with Ruka.
Yeah.
Because I like that she's earnestly going for it. She does. And her reasoning for liking Kazuya, I think it's, it's quirky enough. It's kind of cute, I guess.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's interesting. I'm fine with it. And she says she likes him. She says she's going to keep trying to go for him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know she's not going to win. Yeah. But the things she does sometimes, I'm also like, what are you doing? Like showing up at that New Year's Eve. And it's like, stop.
You know why I liked Ruka so much? The Ruka and Kazuya dynamic. It's almost like Riko and Haru from... Sing Yesterday for Me.
basically is.
Yeah, like
it's borderline the same.
Yeah, it's like you're liking this older dude that obviously does not like you. you're just like you're sticking around in the hopes that something will happen.
Yeah, and then and she keeps fighting, but yeah, no, nothing. Mm-hmm. And I was actually gonna be really angry with Kazuya if he had actually, because. Before he sees Mami and Chizuru together at the karaoke bar, he's about to ask Ruka to actually be his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And, you know, us as the viewers, we obviously know that he doesn't actually like her. So,
well, like,
if that had happened, I would have been pissed.
I was originally hoping that he would, and that we would get a whole, like... Being in a relationship is not
as great as you think he is.
Yeah, and it happened a little bit where like Ruka was always texting him and he was like getting pissed off.
Yep,
and all that. And yeah, I mean, there like I wish they kind of delved into that more. It's like is it worth being in a relationship for the sake of being in a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Or
that's a good point.
Does a relationship need something more?
I didn't think about that.
Because like being in a relationship with Ruka for the sake of being in a relationship, it's almost like him returning back to like being with Mami just so that he'd had someone to just like...
Bone. Or try to bone because they didn't bone.
And like it would be another good like lesson for readers or watchers just to kind of show like that's not... There's more to life than just like needing to be in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like needing to be in a relationship for what? And I think that's one of the primary questions that the show is trying to ask.
Yeah.
It's like, why is it that you want to be in a relationship?
What do you want out of it?
Yeah. Which is why I love that jerking off scene so much. put that epitaph on my tombstone. I just love that jerking off scene so much.
to remember Chris, we will now play his favorite anime.
I want you to play that on like 100-inch projector screens in a church.
On your funeral.
At my funeral.
Open casket, you're just there like smiling. it's a good scene. I might have to go back and rewatch it, you know? But honestly, I do like Ruka-chan.
Yeah.
I like that she, once again, she's doing it the wrong way in multiple locations, but I do like that she's fighting for what she wants.
Yeah. She's a Haru. Like, you could take exactly what you said.
She is a Haru,
and you can apply it. So, like, a little bit, like, young, naive.
Yeah.
And doesn't really know any better.
Mm-hmm. Full of energy.
Yeah. But, I mean, the other thing is that if she were to start dating him, that would also help her to kind of
realize.
Yeah.
You're right. That would have been an interesting arc when you put it that way. Yeah. I hadn't thought about it like that. And then the other girl.
Sumi
is more for the viewer.
Sumi is the true best girl.
Sumi is just for the viewers.
Like, she is the wild card.
She is a wild card.
She is not number one in the charts, but she is number one in the hearts.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she wouldn't be the right girl for Cassia.
Oh, no, totally. No, totally not. I totally, like...
But she is the one that everyone wants to protect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, there's not a whole lot to say about Sumi other than, you know, protect at all cost.
Yeah.
So, I'm assuming we'll see more of her, mm-hmm. but I don't know how involved she'll get because there wasn't really much there
mm-hmm.
in the first season. I remember because, so I kept telling you, right, that I hadn't finished the show and the show ended and I still had to watch like the last 5 episodes or something like that. I mentioned that on the previous episode of our podcast. And by then I was seeing so many memes about Sumi
mm-hmm.
that I was sitting there like, dude, I was watching these episodes and I was like on episode like 8. Mm-hmm. And I was like, when's this other girl going to show up?
So to tell you the truth, I did not watch the whole series, even though I said I would. I did watch the last two episodes.
Right, yeah.
Because Takahashi was voicing Sumi. I wanted to watch it just to kind of see how amazing like it would be. And like it did not disappoint. Yeah, I mean, like, just like... Like for her to just spend an entire episode just mumbling. Oh man, like I don't Basically. Know. I don't know if like if I've gotten soft, but like I was just like, oh,
protect.
Yeah, you gotta protect that. Yeah, she's probably like one of my favorite voice actresses. I think she's probably over. I'll have a soft spot for Kana Hanazawa, but yeah, Rei Takahashi is, oh man.
Right there too?
Oh, she's up there.
She's up there? Hmm.
Yeah. Man. Someone needs to make a Sumi compilation. Someone probably has already made a Sumi compilation. And if there's a compilation, I want to listen to that.
10 hour.
Yeah. 10 hours of,
hi.
Hey. what else do I got? The other thing I like about Ruka and both Ruka and Mami, mm-hmm. They call Kazuya and Chizu out on their shit.
Yes.
On their bullshit. Yeah. And like both of them admit that like, or yeah, both of them kind of told, I hate saying Chizu because I can't get that Lu.
I just,
you can.
Lu. I basically see my Japanese is like very Spanish.
Well, I mean, you can still get the pronunciation.
Chizuru.
I'm EFL. So
I guess, yeah. English first language.
Yeah. But yeah, they were Yeah, because like Chizuru is enabling everything that Kazuya does.
100%.
Right? Which is like one of the reasons why I don't like her. Is she is not...
I mean, she's also doing it for her grandma to some extent.
Yeah.
So I guess she's also falling...
Maybe. Her grandma has a bigger role later in the series.
Okay.
So I mean, in some ways, yes, it's to appease the grandmothers.
Yes.
Chizuru has other motivations, which right. has to do with her acting.
Well, I know that she's doing she says that she's doing the job to practice acting.
Yeah.
Which I mean, I guess that actually makes sense because that is the job. You have to act as a girlfriend, but then again, it doesn't really help your acting because you're just doing the same role over and over and over again. But you know, whatever. I'm interested to see where the series goes. Will I read it? Probably not.
Yeah, I'll probably because I read up to where season one ended. I'll probably continue reading today.
Okay.
Just because this is everything that I've been doing like today. So I woke up at like 8 today. We're recording this at 1 p.m. And yeah, for the entire morning, I've been reading, watching, and typing. Okay, just before we get back into it, I never thought that I'd be doing this much work to like on a hobby
and for Rent a Girlfriend.
Yeah, I have I've got 3 pages of notes. It's crazy.
But I saw that. I quickly opened the Google Drive and I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
What other characters? So the grandmothers, we talked about them briefly. They're annoying.
Yeah, especially Kazuya's grandmother.
Yes.
She's a... No.
Yeah, so I guess we can go into Mami a little bit more. You know more because of the manga, I'm assuming.
I don't remember a lot, so unfortunately I can't help you past it.
Because one thing that I will say I was disappointed was that at least in season one, we never got to see what she was typing on Twitter all the time. Because she tweets a shit ton. Who's even seen the tweets?
Mm-hmm.
What's her audience? And we got a glimpse at her real self on episode, I want to say, 8?
Yeah, so...
After she sees Kazuya with Sumi, and then, you know, she's like... Looks Sumi up and then sees that she's a rental girlfriend, and then looks up Chizuru and sees that she's a rental girlfriend.
Yeah.
We do see a little bit of Mami's like real self there, but not enough to really understand her motivations.
Well, she still likes Kazuya.
Does she though?
Yeah. That's how I see it.
That's how you see
that's
it?
That's how I see it. So I don't think
she likes him.
Yes, I do. She does. Yes, she does. The thing about the way that I see it is that
Kazuya was too horny for her.
I think that's surface levels. I think when Mami was dating Kazuya, it gave her the self, like it gave her validation, and. Like we don't get into the specifics of like why they broke up, but I don't think that's necessary to kind of understand like her motivation. But I think that, I mean, what it comes down to is that for someone that has like narcissism, it doesn't matter that you've lost something, so long as you still have some amount of control on them. Which is why she still wants to like maintain a hold of Kazuya, especially when she found out that he's dating someone else. And so I think part of her, part of the realization that she actually still likes him is that realization that she no longer has control over him.
Which, I mean, okay, yeah, fair point. She touches on that little scene when, because she's asking, like, herself, like, saying out loud, like,
yeah,
why is he all of a sudden surrounded by all these girls?
Yeah, and it was just like, well, you know, like, and she even said to herself, like, anyone could have, anyone would have done, like, anyone would do.
Mm-hmm.
Where she was like, yeah, like, I would date anyone, but...
Why is this guy...
Yeah, I mean, like...
All of a sudden bothering me.
Yeah, it's like, Kazuya should have been... Yeah. Kazuya should have been just like a drop in the ocean for her.
John Doe.
Right. Whatever. Yeah. Just completely random person. But, I think she was, I think like it hurt her pride, to kind of see what happened mm-hmm. afterwards. Where it's like, oh, you know, suddenly like you let this thing go. And for a narcissist, like the last thing that, the last thing that you'd want to admit is the fact that you made a mistake and you let something go.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm intrigued to see where mommy goes.
Yeah. There's a lot of...
I feel like the characters are well written in this show.
They're well written because, like, you can... Like, I can see examples of people in my life, whether it's like friends or like people I know that exhibit so many of these characteristics,
mm-hmm.
which is why like, yeah, like I can kind of understand their motivations and I can kind of like make a guess as to where they can go. I hope like, I hope like maybe like none of my exes are listening to this.
I mean, if they are,
that would be weird.
Hello.
If so, hello. How are you? Hope you're doing well. Don't text me.
Don't text me. It's okay. Don't reach out.
I've already forgotten your number. So. Oh, and there's my my brother's playing piano. So you'll probably hear that.
Oh, look at that. We have welcome to Kanakotaku. We have background music now.
Yeah. Not just background music. It's happy birthday.
It is happy birthday.
What's our time at?
We are at just over an hour and 10 minutes almost.
Nice.
Pretty good.
So,
hey, that's pretty good.
I've done research on real life renting. Do you know anything about renting in real life?
I'm not too familiar other than watching a couple YouTube videos from Joey the Anime Man, where I think he rented a mom in Japan,
yeah,
just for a YouTube video. But okay. I know it's a thing. I know you can rent all sorts of people to either, I guess, not feel as lonely or to go to, you know, events.
Yeah. So renting is a thing in real life. So you're completely right. So not only do people rent like girlfriends or boyfriends, you can also rent an actor. So they're all actors. You can rent an actor to play any role. Mm-hmm. Including mm-hmm. siblings, parents, friends, a mentor, so on and so forth. So like the most famous example that I saw, I actually saw this like way before, but Conan O'Brien is famous for doing like remote segments.
Right.
And he spent like a week or so in Japan and he rented like a whole family to hang out with. So he rented a wife, a daughter, and a dad. And like jokingly, he said, well, like I want to make sure that all of my family members laugh at all of my jokes. And it's something about like he wants his dad to apologize for the way that he treated him back and when he was a kid. So yeah, just like it's kind of jokingly, but like there are actually like,
yeah, he laid it all out and I'm assuming they carried it out. I haven't seen that segment. I should watch it. Honestly.
So the reasons why people rent, some of them are obvious. And so like, here's just like a basic list of reasons. And this comes from information from, that rental agencies give, as well as like people that are in the business. These aren't things that I just guessed. One is to improve social skills. So you can like rent a best friend just so you can talk.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, like you'll rent a girlfriend just that you can have like better confidence when talking to a member of the opposite sex. There's an increasing amount of people experiencing isolation and loneliness. And so this is just a way for you to get some exposure and some company. You need someone to fill the role of someone that has passed away. So like if you lost a parent or something like that, then you could get the comfort of a rental. Have the desire to feel affection without the commitment. So if you want a relationship, but you don't want to like have all the additional
baggage.
Your words, not mine. I hope your fiance is listening.
She doesn't. she just found out about this the other day.
Oh, did you tell her?
Yesterday. No, we went out with one of my groomsmen.
They brought it up.
And he's one of the listeners. Oh, and he's
they
like,
brought it up.
I'm on episode 7 now.
Oh, no.
And then Ariel's like, yeah, of what? And it's like, Luigi's podcast. And then she looks at me and says, you have a podcast?
Oh,
and
I'm no. Like,
yeah, I have a podcast with Chris.
Oh, no.
And then she's like, how come? Because it's about anime and you wouldn't care. And she's like, oh, okay, yeah, I don't care. And I'm like, yeah,
move on.
Whatever. it's fine.
Yeah.
She just doesn't care about
it. Funny. It's funny. Other reasons, people who don't have time for an actual relationship, that's part of the commitment thing.
Mm-hmm.
You need stand-ins at social gatherings.
Yep.
So if you want people to think you're cool, you hire people to say good things about you. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it works. I do.
Oh,
that.
That's cool.
Can be used as a form of therapy. So for example, like people that have had, I'm talking about Conan O'Brien, but like people that have had like past issues with their parents that have led up to pent up resentment. You could rent a pair of parents and then you can express yourselves openly or like ask for advice.
Hash it all out. Cool.
Perfectly good reason. That's such a cool reason. So real life cases. So one of the popular companies, rental companies, is called Family Romance. And it was started by a guy, Ishiyuchi. So the start of his company was actually, doing a favor for one of his friends. So his friend was a single mother who had a 4-year-old son. And in Japan, there's single parent families are looked down upon. And there's a huge focus on the nuclear family of two parents and children.
Mm-hmm.
So since it was a single mother and a 4-year-old son, they were rejected from being admitted into a kindergarten class.
Crazy.
It's crazy. And it's like, it's horrible. And so in order to kind of get around that, he acted as the dad so that during the interview, like the school could see, oh, well, you know, we have a perfect family. We have a mom, we have a dad, and then we have a kid. Right. And so the kid was allowed to get admitted. So yeah, so it's like, there's a lot of, apart from like people need companionship, and like people need to have a girlfriend, there are a lot of more, I don't want to say like, it's like serious, but kind of more situations where things are more like consequential and more important could be one word to describe it.
More impactful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because like, for example, this one is very impactful. Like, it's the kid's education.
Yeah, I mean, it's this kid's future, and it's
just because it doesn't have a dad in the picture. Like,
yeah, and it's kind of a form of
whack
of just rebelling, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
You're rebelling against
system.
A culture. Yeah, I mean, a system which looks down on people that are. That have these sorts of circumstances. And yeah, renting is a way to kind of get past that. There are other situations where we talked about Kazuya's grandmother, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that have literally done that, where people have rented a wife for like a couple days, and then they travel to where their parents are just so that the parents can meet the wife, just to... make them just to
get that over
with. Yeah, get it over with. It's like, oh, yeah. You have a wife, you're fine. All right, you can go back home. And then when they go back home, like,
see ya. Okay. Yeah, thanks.
They continue with their life, right?
Here's your yen. Yep.
So, yeah. But yeah, the other cool thing about renting is that you can be really specific when renting. So, like in the show, it's like every single girl has a persona.
Yeah.
Apparently, you can ask for a person to have any persona because they're all actors, right? And so, yeah, like you can ask for. Whatever, right?
Tsundere.
Yeah.
Dere.
Yeah, so you can include, so you can ask for personality. age, physical features. You can even alter like the memories. So like you can like rent a, say like you rent like a wife, for example.
Yeah.
Like the wife would be like, oh, remember like 10 years ago when we went to the park and you said blah, 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 blah. And I said this and then you bought me that. Yeah. You can be that specific. And actually sometimes like the actors themselves will ask for some of the
background
specifics stuff, just so that they can get into the character more. It's really cool.
See, now that would be way better for acting practice than just having, you know, persona kind of like Chizuru's doing. But yeah, that's interesting. I do think that just like anything else, it does have that. It could have that negative effect.
Oh, yeah.
You totally, can become reliant on the rentals.
Or in this case, like you fall in love with the rental girlfriend.
Exactly.
So.
So it could, it's a double-edged sword.
Oh, totally.
But interesting nonetheless.
Yeah. And in terms of costs, similar to the show, it's like $50 to $80 an hour, depending on who you're getting. I think if you like higher rate actors, it's probably more. The other thing I saw was that you can have the company arrange a fake wedding for you.
No.
Guess how much it costs.
A fake wedding?
According to what this website.
A fake wedding. Are we talking like legit wedding?
Okay, think about your wedding.
Like my wedding.
And how much it costs. Guess how much it costs for this fake wedding.
That should be at least,
because it's a fake wedding, but it's a real wedding price.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Holy shit. Least, I don't know, $50,000?
Yep,
$47,000.
Oh, that hurts. I figured you would know because you're in that part of the planning right now.
The cost went down because COVID.
Yeah. Oh man. There's another quote that someone used. So they asked someone who did a rental service for the first time. This was really sad. I don't want to end with this, but I think this is one of the last things you're going to hear. So a quote from someone that used a rental service for the first time. I think I might have remembered what it feels like to love again.
Oof. And on that terrible bombshell.
Assuming you were, I guess I can't ask you that, but like, I can't ask you if you would ever use a rental service.
Hey, if I need to rent like a fake brother in Japan.
There are a lot of those in North America.
There's rental services in North America?
Isn't there that movie where like you rent a movie?
I don't know what movie you're talking about.
Like you can like rent a brother. Maybe it was a TV show.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But obviously I wouldn't have the need to rent like a wife or girlfriend. Hopefully. I hope I don't ever have the need to rent a wife or girlfriend. I don't know what circumstances would lead me there, but pretty sure all of them would be bad.
No, like my approach to it, I mean, I approach it the same as Tinder. Like I don't need it right now.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting service. Nothing that I would have ever guessed, but it makes sense. And if used for the right reasons, it could be beneficial.
Yeah.
But like I said, you could become dependent on it, and that's a no-no. That's bad.
Yeah.
But that's like any other thing, right? Like you could be you can become dependent on like Advil. Pills.
Oh yeah, totally. Like
anything in excess is going to be negative.
Yeah. So, and for the wrong reasons too.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's renting in real life. Would I ever do it? No. I'm more of a, it is what it is.
Yeah. Like I don't think I'd be able to get through the whole like contriveness.
Yeah. I would feel too. Yeah. I don't open myself up that quickly to strangers.
No, like,
and this would be a stranger just immediately acting like they've known me for however long.
Like, I would be, like, that's I would think to myself, like, this is fake.
Like, this is the whole way through.
And, like, the weird thing is, like Kazuya thought that, but at the same time, he's like, he's like, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, that's his whole attitude is, but maybe. He's like, this is a really bad idea.
Unless
it's not. Yeah. She's only like pretending to like me.
What if she kissed me at the end of this date?
Maybe. I mean, maybe, like, she kissed me to kind of, you know, as part of CPR, but maybe.
But maybe. Oh, she gave me a gift. Oh,
yeah.
The reviews.
Yeah. Mammy doesn't like me anymore.
But maybe. Oh,
man. Just cut out the but maybe.
And yeah, what you're if? Probably better no, off. Just whatever. Yeah. It is what it is. Not the what if.
Yeah.
It's just it is what it is.
Yeah, this is not bad for a deep dive. I think probably as we get more, as we get used to kind of doing these in-depth look, I think we'll get better at it. I think it was still a little bit of rambling, but I will say my notes were completely unorganized, and that's part of it. I tried to organize either like by character as well as by episode, and then it turned into like, well, what the fuck?
I feel like you have to choose one.
This time when I was doing my notes, I did by character, by episode. So in my Kazuya section, I had episode one, episode two.
Blah, blah, blah. Oh, interesting.
And did not work out that well.
I don't think that would
work. I will be more organized next time. But the next deep dive will probably happen whenever
we decide what to deep dive.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. The other question.
Next episode will probably be,
I don't know.
Fall 2020.
Maybe fall 2020.
There are a lot of good shows. I'm watching.
Dude, it's crazy.
I am watching.
This season is good.
Yeah.
I haven't watched more like episode one of most of them because I've
watched
here.
Episode two of most of the stuff that I'm watching.
I haven't had time to watch episode two, mm-hmm. but just quickly, Haikyuu is good. It's still fine.
Mm-hmm.
That new Shonen Jump one, I'm enjoying it. The Jujutsu Kaisen.
You're really popular.
Some people are overhyping the opening. If anyone mm-hmm. wants to fight me about that, fight me. But that opening is not that good.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting show, an interesting premise.
And I'm actually watching an action show.
Which one?
I'm watching Yashahime or Hime Yasha.
Oh, so I haven't seen episode one of that yet.
So
I haven't seen.
Well,
that yet.
We'll talk about that when the episode comes because there's a lot to talk about because I'm really enjoying the season so far. So look out for that.
Yes.
In the next coming weeks, you might even record it as early as next week or later this week.
Maybe later this week.
You're here for a week, so.
Quickly though, the climbing anime. I didn't enjoy it too much. I was slightly disappointed.
Yeah.
But they did talk about all the techniques and stuff. I know, which right? I did enjoy that. So as I was watching it, I was like, this is not good. But the climbing is interesting.
Yeah, it's one of those shows where it's only you'll only watch it if you're
so in the hobby. That one disappointed me a little. But anyway, mm-hmm. we can go into that more.
Right.
I haven't even seen episode two, so we'll see.
Well, I've got a class to get to.
Yes, and I have lunch to go
to. And you have lunch, so we'll end the episode there. Thank you so much, you guys, for listening to this episode of the CO Podcast. If you like what you heard, feel free to subscribe to us on whatever podcasting platform you are listening to currently, whether it's Spotify, Apple Music, or anything else. If you have any questions or any requests, you can always tweet us at Kanuck Otaku. That might be the best way to get to us.
Yes.
You can always email us at kotakupodcast@gmail.com.
I've been trying to tweet more.
With C.
I still don't know what to tweet half the time, but I've been trying to tweet more.
You'll get there.
And yeah, shoot us a message. I'll send you guys my anime list and you can roast me. I keep saying that. I'll post it on Twitter someday. Maybe. We'll see.
I'll probably roast it.
You'll probably roast it.
I can roast it, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Until then, take care and we will see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.
Happy Thanksgiving-er.